Hey, hit me!
Are you ready for the deadliest news, issues, comments, and people? Well, on now is National Talk Black with Trendy Trev, going live from BBM through the National Indigenous Radio Service. Give us a call now, 1-800-422-416. National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
Yes, a very good morning, you deadly mob. Welcome back to your deadly program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from Macquarie, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country. That's BBM Bumbabrip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Digital Radio Service. You can have your say by calling us on that deadly number, 1-800-422-416. All right, now there's an aim to bring Indigenous culture companies to the world stage. And to talk about that and who's bringing our mob to the world stage is Melanie Harris, who's a Trade and Investment Commissioner on the line. Melanie, good morning, sister. How are you?
Good morning, Trevor. I'm great. Thank you.
Thank you very much coming to the program. I'm really good. Thank you very much. Before we start, sister, let the mob know who your mob, where you're from.
I'm a proud Yuin woman from the south coast of New South Wales, so that whole Queensland, New South Wales rivalry is very,
very strong. Too deadly, sister. Look, thank you very much. A very important space you're working in. Tell us about, the job that you do and the organisation you work for, please.
Yeah, so I work for the Australian Trade and Investment Commission, which is the Australian federal government's trade promotion agency. So what we do is we help Australian companies export overseas, and we also attract foreign direct investment into Australian companies, again for exporting and jobs and prosperity.
So an opportunity for First Nation businesses, companies, to expand internationally, and you can help them in this space, is that right?
Absolutely. Look, as I said, we help all Australian companies, but yes, there's a bit of a focus now. We have three trade and investment commissioners who are of Indigenous heritage out there in the world at the moment. Myself and the other two are in the Americas region. I'm based in the ASEAN region in Kuala Lumpur in Malaysia.
Yes.
And so, you know, part of us being out there is actually helping Indigenous companies. So just, you know, making sure they're included in different programs that we run and different events that we hold.
And we're talking about First Nation business companies from all industries?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, Austrade has its specific sectors or priority sectors that we work in. But, you know, a lot of the Indigenous companies that, you know, I've sort of looked at fall into one of those sectors, or they, you know, you can make them fall into it, so to speak. But, you know, if I was talking to, say, a fashion company, I would still have a conversation with them. I wouldn't say, well, you don't fit into one of our sectors.
No,
so
sure.
No way. Yeah. Mm.
Well, guide them and direct them, if not this, and look at other avenues. But the conversation is there to be had, yes?
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, and part of, like, one of the things that Austrade's strength is that, you know, we have a network of people based all around the world, and that network is very strong and deep, and they know their market. So, you know, sometimes it might be just helping them meet somebody in market, and that's what we do, and we're happy to even do that bit.
Fantastic. Can this opportunity, well, it could open up doors for Indigenous culture and companies on a global scale.
Absolutely. And anybody I speak to in Malaysia at the moment and across the ASEAN region, to be more precise, are very welcoming and are so interested in our culture. It's not funny. Like, I've had so many different people ask me for more information, you know, ask about the different cultures that we have, the mobs, and, you know, just different words. Like, my team in Malaysia, we have, our team name is actually a combination of Uluru and a local national park in Malaysia.
Mm.
So, you know, like, we're, you know, merging things as much as we can as well.
Too deadly. And what about Indigenous culture? Companies, different companies, how do an Indigenous person who's got a company or business, how do they apply, or is there what's a pathway for them to be at the table talking with you and an opportunity to go global?
Well, there's so many different ways that an Indigenous company can make contact with Austrade. So we have, as I said, we have quite a big network. in Australia and overseas, but we also have a Trade Start Network, which are basically in our regional areas of Australia, so they work quite closely with us, plus the state and territory agencies. Like, so there's these, you know, for example, there's TIQ in Queensland, which is Trade Investment Queensland, that's the Queensland rep, and then there's the Indigenous Chambers of Commerce and Supply Nation. So we use all of our people in our ecosystem to find Indigenous companies when we've got an opportunity, say in Malaysia, if I'm looking for something, I will reach out to all of those areas, as well as our own database. But, you know, people can contact us by registering with things on our website, looking at things on our website, you know, connecting with people through LinkedIn. There's so many different ways.
Fantastic. And if an applicant was successful in regard to the expansion or opportunities overseas, is there a cost or fee to be involved?
Not a cost or fee per se at the moment. So I think, like, you know, with COVID and stuff, Austrade has, like, relaxed a few of their charging models and stuff. But, for example, with the Food Hotel Malaysia event that we held, that was held a few months ago, the cost to the Indigenous companies that participated in that was postage cost to get their samples out to me so that we had something to showcase at the event. So sometimes the cost might be direct or sometimes it might be for a service, but at the moment we're not charging.
Sure. And then the opportunity, if successful, then you link up companies overseas or clients or associates in regarding networking and promoting, marketing their product. Is that right?
So sometimes it could be simple as we actually, like, you know, company A in Australia has a product and we know that there's a buyer in Malaysia that is interested, and so we will connect them and then lead them to their own devices. We might pay a bit of a role going forward. There might be that we showcase them at a trade event like Food Hotel Malaysia that was part of that article, or, you know, it might be a business mission, something that we actually help support, something like we might sort of say, you know, like, hey, it'd be really good to have a couple of Indigenous companies come out and actually speak to some buyers or importers in Malaysia. So, or we could have importers and buyers from Malaysia come to Australia and we go, we really want you to meet and or go and see the factory where this Indigenous product is made or something like that. So there's all different ways that they can be involved.
Marlene, just checking on the amount of Indigenous culture companies, businesses that have been successful.
Look, it's a bit hard to tell getting the data about Indigenous companies. And as I sort of probably mentioned before, I've only been in the role
since December.
Yeah. So it's early days yet, and some things you can't turn around quite quickly.
Well, it's good to have a sister at the doorway there, so that's fantastic, and open up the doorway for more mob to come through. Fantastic.
Exactly. That's what I'm there for.
Beautiful. I think it's fantastic, and thank you very much for sharing. So the webpage, how do people get in touch with you again?
Austrade.gov.au.
Go on the webpage, check it out, inquire about putting their business forward, and just start the conversation, sister.
Yeah, and you can find me on LinkedIn as well.
All right, Melanie Harris, I thank you very much for the yarn. My sister, Too Deadly, stay black, stay deadly, stay strong. We'll yarn soon, sis.
Thanks, Fred. See ya.
Bye-bye. Deadly yarn there. Melanie Harris, her name is, and she's Trade and Investment Commissioner. So there it is. So fantastic. Your Deadly Mob out there in business, black people in business, culture, companies to the world stage, an opportunity if you want to expand. There it is. But you get it right here first in your own local area or your own state, if not this country, and opportunities to go overseas. Why not? Business, and like any business person, you'll take anybody's money. I hear that. Too Deadly Mob, have you seen Yarn Up Strong here? National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416. Yeah, that's my land. The Pigram Brothers here on your daily program, National Talk Black. Have your say and yarn up strong, new mob, 1-800-422-416. That's the daily number you need to call. Otherwise, you can text brother 045-714-0550. And our Facebook page as well, BBM987FM. Yarn with your host, National Talk Black, Trendy Trev Murray from Nakari, and take you right up through to 12 noon Queensland time. 1 hour program, and come to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on your Yidinji country. That's BBM Bumbabrip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. And big shout out to the mob down there at the NERS office and house there at the Beamer office, Brisbane Indigenous Media Association, and the Deadly Black Network, Too Deadly. Let's look at top stories in the news. The battle for the Snake Island. For Snake Island, a bunch of dead generals and a disastrous bridge crossing. Other news here. Corruption concerns prompt 31 judges to make rare election intervention. A prominent Sydney corporate lawyer set to be grilled by a Ponzi scheme investigators. UFOs real could pose national security threat, Congress hears. We'd never heard of cohesive control, a letter from Sue Clark to her daughter Hannah Clark. White supremacy is a poison, says Biden, recounting the lives lost. And other news here, chaos as nation with zero vax rate faces ruin. Johnny Depp case, late night footage of Amber Heard and ex and male co-star exposed. Townsville police provide update on Andrew Simmons' crash investigation. Mole has taken over your rental home, but should your landlord clean it up or you? That's the question. In regard to investors, people who are renting, have you saying yarn up strong here, National Talk Black. Deadly number here is 1-800-422-416.
G'day folks, Troy Cassidale here. You're with Trevor on National Talk Black. Don't move that dial.
Come on, drive it. Drive it like you stole it, son. Drive it.
Dreaming, well, maybe like we singing that crabbery. Woman singing crabbery, like a long each time. From dreaming right through till today. We're gonna keep going all the way. Keep that culture, long away all.
La la la, la 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 la.
Black man.
run down. Level up and like that. All the long stream down. Level up and like that. We're gonna keep that culture strong. We're gonna sing all the way and practice Bangladesh culture. What we gotta probably we're gonna keep it strong. All of black women. All over Israel.
To Delhi Mob, welcome back to your Delhi program, National Talk Black. You are Yanni with the bully one here, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry. Live on First National Radio Station here in Cairns, pressing all the buttons here. Look like a Christmas tree, press the wrong button. Fake it till you make it, they reckon. This is your Delhi program, National Talk Black, live at the First National Radio Station here in Cairns on your dingy country, BBM Bumbabrip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation, thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. So you can have your say, yarn up strong, 1-800-422-416. And we're going to do the next segment, Which Way Yarning, proudly sponsored by Pecconi's, IGA, Brinsmead and Edmonton. And they give us a box of fruit here at Bumbo Bripper Media, healthy living, healthy lifestyle, chewing a banana or an apple rather than a Mars bar picnic. There it is, healthy living, healthy lifestyle. I've got what you call furniture disease. My chest dropped in my drawers. Got to get that back up here, but that's what it's all about. So this segment, which we're yarning, we're going to talk to Senior Sergeant Len Delay, who's back at Edmonton after stint here at the head office here in Cairns, and also Police Liaison Officer Stephen Grant. And they are bodyguards to Rosie Fubista, who's first year constable. And a very good morning to you all. How are you?
Good morning, Trevor. How are you going?
Good.
Hello.
Rosie, hello. How are you?
How are you? Good, thank you.
Good.
Hello, brother.
Steve. Hey, brother. How are you? So, are you, brother Steve? Who are you, mob? Where are you from?
Yeah, Steve Grant, Jitterbull Murray from the wettest place or the second wettest place in Australia, Tully.
Yeah, sorry, get that snorkel out of your mouth. I couldn't understand what you're saying.
Wettest town
in Australia.
That's correct.
Big shout out Tully Mob and beautiful sister down there.
Yep.
And family down there, thank you very much. Rosie, where do you stem from?
I come from that other well-known state of Australia called New Zealand.
Yeah, that's
been
right.
About 21 years now and I'm an Australian citizen. So,
yes.
Yeah.
All right, fantastic. Your story, you was with the police force over there.
Yes, I was a police officer in New Zealand back when I was 25. I joined up. The Queensland Police did a recruitment drive to get cops to come over here on a shorter program, which I did. And then I eventually left. So I did about 8 years in total. I left the job and 17 years later I rejoined last year.
Saw the light, came back.
Yeah.
There you go. Yeah. Fantastic. And under the guide of Senior Sergeant Linda Lai, yes. Good to see you, my friend. How are you?
Good. Fine to be back here, mate.
Yeah, fine to be back here and fine to be back at Edmonton.
Yeah, different uniform.
Yeah. Now tell us a stint, because you did stint here at the Cairns branch, didn't you?
Yep. So almost 4 months in the inspector role for the Cairns City Patrol Group.
Mm.
And we sorted a few problems out, I hope.
Yep, yep. When you do a stint like that, acting there, that's for 4 months. Was that like the time that they asked for you to act?
I was filling a position for another inspector there who was relieving up in the superintendent role.
Okay.
Mm.
Right, there it is. So good stint, but good to be back in the home front there at Edmonton.
Yep.
All right, fantastic. Yep.
The sun has been shining ever since.
Is that right? There you go. Thank you. Since you've been back to Edmonton, rain stopped. Well, there it is, Stephen Grant. They're having a little giggle. Now, yarn here today, guys, girls, is e-scooter messages, so electrical scooters. My first question, do you have to wear a helmet when on a scooter?
Yeah, absolutely.
You do?
Yep, and for good reason. One of the things we're noticing is there's has been an increase of injuries and fatalities on these electrical scooters, and a lot of those are caused by head injuries. These devices go at a great speed.
Yeah, they do. They do travel, don't they?
Yeah, and when we're seeing an accident, people are colliding with hard surfaces like either the bitumen or concrete pavement, and definitely causing serious head injuries, and in a lot of cases people have died as a result of those accidents.
Yeah. Yep.
So
helmets are very important.
Yeah. So not only law. But for your own safety, you would definitely wear a helmet if you were riding one of these scooters.
Well, I asked that question. One, I bought a scooter about 3 months ago. I bought a helmet with it. Didn't know if you had to have one, but I bought one just for sake of safety.
Yeah.
But see, a lot of people cruise around on scooters without helmets.
Yeah.
In actual fact, the next question is bicycles as well.
Yeah.
You still have to wear a helmet riding a bicycle.
You do, absolutely.
So I see a lot of people riding bikes with no helmet.
Yeah. And I'm sure if we went and spoke to some of our friends down at the medical ward, they would be on side with me saying, put that helmet on, protect your head. In the event of a fall, you'd want all the protection that you've got. And, not many people that have these accidents foresee that the accident was about to happen.
Sure. And once they've had the accident, they're thinking, gee, I should have wore the helmet.
Yeah, absolutely. Too late. Yep.
Steve, so let's talk about, give us some later messages regarding the e-scooter there, brother.
Well, obviously you have to be 16 years of age or 12 with an adult supervision.
With the electrical scooters, you've got to be 16 age or 12 with
that
the
is correct.
Adult supervision.
With the supervision, obviously, just what the Senior Sergeant just said there about the helmets, it's compulsory at all times. Or if you've been granted with a medical or religious reasons.
Mm.
So I imagine that would be...
some people of a Hindu faith, perhaps.
Yep.
Yep, that wear a headdress, yep.
Yep.
Yep. Yep.
So they don't have to wear a helmet?
No.
No.
Okay. Not on the religious grounds, they're correct.
Okay.
Mm. Also, there's a dot point there, Trevor, to, not to carry passengers, not using a mobile phone device. That's also an offence.
Okay.
Also...
No drink and ride.
No drink and drive.
Yeah.
And so that's something that people seem to forget. Yeah. Even on a skateboard, if you've been consuming alcohol...
Yeah.
You're in a vehicle.
And a road, road-related area...
Oh, sure, exactly.
..includes a footpath, so...
Well, trying to protect yourself from yourself.
Yeah.
If not cause an accident with somebody else.
Yeah, and other pedestrians, correct, yeah.
And if you think about it, anyone on a scooter, you know, versus a car, you're going to come off second best.
Second best all the time.
Mm.
Exactly. True point, Rose. Yes, Ev, continue there, brother.
Yes, there's also drink driving, having a flash or a steady white light on the front and a red light on, and reflector at the rear. When travelling at night in a hazardous conditions.
Yeah, and most scooters, electrical scooters, day and age, they come with all that fitting, don't they?
Well, yeah, as far as I know, they do, yeah.
Yeah.
So that's one. Rideables should be used on footpath with wherever possible. So I imagine that is more if the footpath is available. To access that rather than obviously the main roads, I believe.
Yep.
Yeah.
Because obviously it'd be a hazard.
Sure. And you'd have to check with your local council with their local bylaws as well, because I'm sure.
They may have a rule that cancels that out.
Yeah.
That's correct. So you'd find like a Cairns city here in the city centre. I doubt very much you'd be allowed to ride an electrical scooter at full speed through the city centre.
And especially not on the footpath.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In a built up area.
Long Dash might be fine, but.
Yeah, that's right. Mm. Yep.
True. So, good point. Yep.
Should limited access to roads to permits, but only to specify it on circumstances. For example, you can also use reasonable rideable to road crossroads and avoid obstructions on the footpath up to 50 metres.
50 metres. Yep.
So, obviously, that's a very important one. Mm. We have the one now, I think. On our vehicles, where we must stay, I think it's 4 meters for a to give way to a person on a push bike, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
So I imagine this would also be under the same umbrella.
Same umbrella, same rules.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's pretty short.
Yeah, and a lot of these points that Steve's reading out here, they relate to bicycles as well.
So, sure.
Similar rules. We're really riding a little electrical bicycle, aren't we?
Yeah, exactly. And
a lot of it, I see, Trevor, as I drive around in the Edmonton area, a lot of it is actually more just common sense.
Mm.
You know, like Rosie just said, you know, it's easy to
miss them just
like that.
Just be safety.
And being considerate of pedestrians,
exactly.
Especially on footpaths.
Exactly.
So,
families pushing prams and what have you, you know.
Mm.
You must not ride on the main roads or streets. That we just bought that dock point.
Mm-hmm.
When a permit to ride on the streets, you may keep as far to the left side of the road as particular.
Practicable.
Sorry.
Yeah. Practicable. Yeah.
Just like bike riders, you may. Alongside one another of vehicle on the road in the same
direction.
Yep. However, you must not cause a traffic hazard by moving into the footpath of the driver or unreasonable obstruction to the path of any other road user.
Mm. Which is bicycle.
Well, exactly,
laws,
bicycle laws. Yeah, that's right. Well. Bicycles have been around longer than electrical scooters.
Yeah.
So if you get an electric scooter, just buy it by the same rules.
Pretty well.
If you look at it, you should know the rules.
Yeah.
You know? Because everybody out there with an electrical scooter has ridden a bike before.
That's right. Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If you knew an electrical scooter, well, you've ridden a bike before, just buy it by the same rules.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is with these electrical scooters, they get up and go like they do some high speed, you know.
Yeah.
And,
easy.
You can see how people are tempted. I have seen them on our highway, on the Bruce Highway here, travelling into Cairns.
Mm.
That's not safe at all. There's traffic there doing 80 kilometres an hour on that road.
Yep.
Really could end out with a fatality very quickly. I can see the fun in it.
Sure.
But, you know, this is why we have these rules.
Keep everybody safe. That's what it's all about, you know. The Queensland Police have scooters?
We don't. So the Cairns City.
You reckon it'd be good to have?
No.
No, you don't need to.
No. Cairns City, but having a
like around the city area, along the BD, business side of town.
Many years ago, when I was up here, we had segways, and we had the segways on the Esplanade.
That's right, I remember that.
Unfortunately, they got the Deputy Commissioner, Mr. Taylor,
cancelled it.
Yeah, cancelled it. Unfortunately, yeah. Now we currently have at the Esplanade. We have the timber walls, which is the four wheelers.
Four-wheelers, ATVs.
And that's now gone down to a different size motor vehicle now, which QPS uses on the Esplanade, which is a golf buggy. With lights, and it's due to the fact that the council has obviously come up with this alternative due to the fact that it was causing a lot of issues to the turf.
Yeah, okay, yes.
With the four-wheelers.
Yeah.
So they've obviously gone downsized to a golf buggy valued at $25,000, and it's been used on the Esplanade.
So we're talking about transport for the police. Probably not so in Cairns, but I know, so in cities, horses.
Yeah, so we do have a mounted police but they're based in Brisbane.
Yeah, none in Cairns.
So we don't. I've seen in Cairns. Okay. Mind you, I think half the girls in my station would love us to have a mounted police.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Yeah,
a lot of the girls love horses.
Yeah, but no, we don't have. Yeah. We don't have a
so what about going like a country Queensland, smaller towns, Tablelands, or
yeah, still
Cloncurry? They ride horses up there. Yeah.
Look, our stock squad have horses.
Yeah.
And you know they use them to an extent of you
or
know,
searching,
searching
in the wilderness.
They have to muster paddocks, and so they have the horses. But
you a horse rider, Rosie?
No, I did go on a horse ride a few months ago. Probably the first time in 20 years.
Oh, okay, right. Yeah.
I'm not a horsey person.
Okay.
Yeah, I think
just about all the vehicles that police use, but to scooters, to bikes, to
water police,
ATVs.
Yep.
I thought I asked a question about horses.
Yeah, yep. Yep.
Ride him cowboy.
Yep.
So, the good thing about the Segways at the time, it was good publicity to the QPS.
Yeah, sure.
Because part of our
travels
was from the Hilton all the way to the the Esplanade.
Well, the whole Esplanade.
Yes, and
4 or 5 kilometres.
Doing a training course for one day on it at Cairns Station. Obviously, riding on the footpath.
Yep.
And, it was a good stint that I found.
Yeah.
Over that 12-month
period.
You
didn't have a Usain Bolt media confrontation at all?
Yeah, especially when you were going to a presentation, if there was a especially like if we're over at the Moorabool Beat or something like that, there was a cultural festival on.
Mm.
We did the segways over there.
Yeah.
And just advertise that way.
Sure, yeah, cruise around, you know.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, it's an activity, but it's a draw card for people to come and have a yarn with you as well, you know. Yeah, driving something different, you know?
Yeah.
I worked at the concert here on the weekend. There was the function that was on in the
Summer
weekend.
Festival.
Yes, and the extra security that were employed there were riding on scooters.
Oh, okay.
Because you're working in a big park like that, it's a big area to cover.
They were officers riding the scooters?
Not police officers, the extra security that were hired.
Okay,
to convince the senior police officers that we should get some too.
But you know, don't discount it.
No,
you
sure.
Know, the environmentally friendly direction that all departments are looking towards. I wouldn't be surprised if we didn't see police on e-scooters at some time.
Glenn, you've been a senior sergeant at Edmonton. Can you make that call?
No.
It's got to come from head office in Brisbane.
Yeah.
Across the state.
That won't be me. Yep.
Yeah, thank you. Yep. All right. Thank you.
And look, if they made the call, I'd be tapping out and letting the boys do the scootering. And, mate, I'm happy on foot. Two feet. Firmly on the ground.
Patrol, mate.
I don't need a helmet when I'm walking.
There you go.
So,
All right, beautiful. So the yarn there, you mob. We're talking to Edmonton Police here. And I always catch them up yarn with them once a week. And we talk about e-scooter and the messages regarding e-scooter. Yes, you do have to wear a helmet. Travel safely, and you've got to be at least 16 years of age to ride an electrical scooter, or 12 with an adult supervision. So it's about being here and being safe. And as you mentioned, Senior Sergeant Glenda Lye, we've had fatalities riding the scooters. So they are dangerous in that sense. So wear your helmet and abide by the rules and keep safe. Yep.
That's the message, yes.
Yep. That's the message, yep. Rosie, nice to meet you. Thank you for coming in.
Thank you. Nice to meet you too.
My brothers, always good to see you, and good to see you back at Edmonton. Senior Sergeant Linda Lyon. A big shout out to the mob there at Edmonton. And we'll talk soon, eh, guys?
Thank you.
Thanks, all right.
Merry
Thank
Christmas. Beautiful yarn there with the guys and girls in blue. Edmonton Police in the segment there, Which Way Yarn and Proudly sponsored by Pecone IGA, Brisbane, Edmonton. Like I said, give us a box of fruit here at Bummer Brippa Media. Healthy living, healthy lifestyle, you mob. Stay tuned, your daily program, National Talk About, 9 minutes. Have your saying yarn up strong, 1-800-422-416. Too Deadly, welcome back. Daily program, National Talk Black. Have you say yarn up strong, 1-800-422-416. We've got Tony Gibbs online. Tony, good morning.
Morning, Trevor.
How you going, brother?
Oh, I'm good today, thanks.
Good, good. What's happening?
I want to update on the green patch, what's happening down there, local story here.
Yeah, how are you travelling? What's happening?
Just before I do that, can I make a couple of comments, being election in a few days?
Yes.
One is this ScoMo. I saw an interview of him out in Alice Springs there. Mm-hmm. And I was really disturbed at the, I don't like criticising Murray, but there's an Aboriginal woman out there that was calling him, oh, you have to respect him, he's our elder. Mm-hmm. And I really, that just went against my grain, and I'm sure it went against the grain of a lot of Aboriginal people too. And she's fairly confident of winning out there for the Liberal Party. I just found that really disturbing that somebody calls the Prime Minister their elder.
Well, probably making a point in his age, probably respect him for his age. That's probably about it, Tone. But, yeah, I hear what you're saying.
Yeah, and he's bulldozing. And the other thing he said is out there is that he doesn't... His father was a policeman, so he reckons, and he says he doesn't believe in the police service. He believes in the police force.
Mm. Yeah, probably a choice of words there, eh? Police force.
Yeah, well, he reckons he's a bulldozer and a force, and it's all done by force. My view is, well, you know, there's no treaty, and people with compulsory voting have to sort of vote for the enemy, and that all goes against the grain. But a lot of people fought to get that vote, so I just hope that this Liberal National Party doesn't get in. And the other disturbing thing, I saw the Cairns Post last Friday week. They had an article on Warren Ench on there, how he had COVID and was hiding it, and I didn't have time to read the whole article, but there's more to that than meets
Anyway, yeah, apparently he did have COVID-19, but I don't think he mentioned it to anybody.
Yeah, he was hiding it, mate, and I don't know if he was out and about, but that just shows, you know, he's had 8 terms. I really think that he needs to go.
Time to move on, you reckon? Change, yeah, change. Time for change, you reckon?
Well, for him especially, you know, and we've got some terrible politicians in Queensland. I think there's this Bob Catastrophic, which is sort of responsible for Goldsborough area, and yeah, some of them, it's in Queensland, and Barnaby Joyce, there's some really, Peter Dutton, I can't handle any of them people, mate. They just seem inhuman to me and arrogant. But I just, anyway, that's political because it's coming on. But the Green Party, I wanted to talk about that too. The council have opened the gate to the camping area and the rest area, but still the gate to the river is shut.
It seems like that is the case. Like they're not going to give way to it, are they, you know? Prevention of any accidents or fatalities. Like they're trying to police it or keeping people safe.
They don't want to police it. They don't want the job. They know Murray's go down there, so they lock it up so they don't have to do the job.
Mm.
You know, I should get a box of fruit and go to the police station. They might listen, you know.
Oh, it's beautiful.
Yeah, but the thing is that down there is being destroyed under the bridge in our recreation area. It's turned into a four-wheel drive fun park.
Mm.
And they're going up and down. It's full of water holes and mozzies. It's a mozzie farm. Mm. It's so out of control down there. It's not in line with any modern environmental thing. And it is just there's a lot of our mob go down there, Murray's go down there, and we've got to sit up in the top and...
And yearn for that water from afar.
Yeah, well, you know, if they shut a beach, everybody would go off in Gordonville.
Yeah, true, you got a point there.
We've got a river and people are doing dangerous things.
It's a beautiful river too, brother. A beautiful river.
The council, it's a beautiful river and the council are not mowing it down there. It's all overgrown. It's a snake pit. It's dangerous. Mm. You can't walk down there. You can't do anything. It's like... It's just a terrible thing in Gouldenville. And anyway, this is my show for the day. Thanks for taking my call.
My brother, thank you very much, Tony. That's Tony Gibbs having his say. Your mob, thank you very much for your company. Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry going to sign off here for today's program. Back in the hot seat again tomorrow, 1-800-422-416. But 24/7, text the brother, 0457140550. And our Facebook page as well, BBM 987 FM.